What has happened? What has this nation done to cause other nations in the world to no longer look up and want to be like us? We're not the nation we used to be. We are not. Perhaps one of the thoughts that seems to be very logical is America, just let's put it, let's be frank. America has left God, and God has given a warning to our country, and he is waiting to see if we're going to respond. But America has left God. America has led the world in spreading the gospel to Jesus, and it's not that way now. These are some facts that we could give you statistically as far as missions go. What out of the Philippines and other places, there are missionaries far more greater in number than we are sending out in the world today. If the Baptist Bible Fellowship International, where Brother Jack was used as a clearinghouse, if you were to look at that particular clearinghouse, you'd see the numbers of missionaries and the ones who are going, and even in the ranks of some of those who are missions, they're short-term missionaries, you know, helping out and so forth. They're retired. There's a tremendous grain of the missionary. Very few surrendering, and needs to be preached from our church. Some of you need to surrender for missions. Some of us need to surrender as God. But the end is approaching. America, which has promoted liberty and justice for all so great in so many years, I believe the end is soon upon us. And if you will, what if America, if you would, return to God? What if? You write it down, we return to God. 2 Chronicles 7, you can look there, and then you can understand somewhat this same God that was told through Moses, told of God, and then so Elisha told of God, and Jesus is telling of God, of the Heavenly Father. You and I need to know that if America returned to God, what if? Revival can come to our life. Revival can come, and some people say, no, it will not. Some people say it's too far, you know, in this day and time. But I believe if Christians would begin acting as Christians as they should be, that God would put back in the government from Washington, D.C. down to the cities. And so as we take evaluation tonight, it really starts here. This is the grassroots. It starts with us. It's one step at a time. I believe God could put back in the schools where children can learn to pray and learn more about God. I believe that with all my heart. Multitudes of American non-believers would become believers. The economy, our economy, everybody's worried about the dollar. They're worried about the economy. The economy would be restored to even greater heights of prosperity than ever before if we just turn our hearts toward God. But to turn our heart toward God so God would bless our pocketbook is not the reason that we should turn our hearts toward God or that we have less problems. It's that he's worthy, just like we need to tell him we appreciate him. We love him, adore him, and we appreciate him, and we need to turn our hearts toward him. God can right the wrong that has been done in our country. The past has a consequence, but we don't have to continue to live there. I believe a spiritual awakening can begin even in America. But what if America not just returned to God, what if it failed to return to God? What if we continue going the way we're going? Do we have a year left? Is this ISIS? Or you go to Dearborn, Michigan, and you look at major hotspots, metropolis areas where there are lots of people who are Muslims. The radicals are infiltrating, and they're coming in and out. Over in Fairhope, there was a guy, a kid over there that went over. He wanted to fight with Al-Qaeda. I think he was recently killed a few months ago. But I'm saying that it affects the people right next door. We had a singer from Fairhope, but there was somebody else who hated Christianity from Fairhope who went to the Middle East to decide to invest or sacrifice his life for the cause. Today, we need to know if America fails to return to God, what if it does, if it failed to return to God? God, I believe, will withdraw his protective hand from our nation. I think he's already doing that. Can you see that? So what do we do? Do we just say, well, there's no hope, or do we turn our hearts toward God? America would be, around the world, we have so many military actions around the world in defending our soil and our people. in Mali, just in that East African country just this last week. They're in the Radisson Blue or whatever it is, the hotel. A lot of things were happening there, you know, that French colony, one time a French colony. So we're trying to protect our people around the world. America would prove itself to many nations. If we don't change, if we fail to return to God, they're going to say of us, which is true, we're a hypocrite. We're saying we're a nation under God, but we really are not unless we return to God. We're very arrogant people. You listen to the commander-in-chief, and we're very arrogant. There is an immorality in our country. There's a boastfulness. There is a pridefulness. There's a godliness in our society. Let me finish here how this can be made practical to you and me just before we take the mic comes and leads, sings us a song. Have you ever thought about all these conflicts that we've had down through time? We can go back, you know, we can look at Desert Storm, and then its predecessor was the Vietnam War, and then before it was the Korean War, and then before that was World War II, and then before that was World War I. And you can go back to some big names, and I don't have my history book in front of me, and I should have done just a little thought on this before I bring it up here before you. But you could go back to Alexander the Great, or you go back to one of the Caesars or Nero, or you could go back to Napoleon. It seems like there's always been a major, major conflict. This world that wants peace has no peace, and things have progressively spiraled to the point where the world is out of control. I'm not trying to be a doomsayer. I'm trying to tell you the truth. Perilous times are here, and if America doesn't return to God, we're going to be in trouble. But America can right itself, do right, if you will, if we can only see that people must ask God. We need to trust him. We need to, if we fail to return to God, if America does do that, we're going to be in a world of trouble. And today, you and I need to know that if we really want God to work in our life, people everywhere can get right with God, but it starts with you and me living before them in a convicting way. For God, it will not hear nor bless anyone who wants to do things that aren't right with him. And so tonight, we want you to take an inventory. We want you to say, Lord, am I trusting you? Am I praying? You know, if we fail to return, this thing of prayer makes a difference. The prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And if you think about that word righteous, pray that America, I don't know what the next slide is, Ethan, I didn't bring my little paper with me, this thing is going to do me in. What can we do? We can pray. And if you and I, what can Shelton Beach, what if Shelton Beach Road Baptist Church, SBRBC, if we get on our knees, we pray, it will make a difference. And we get on fire is the blank word there. But if we get on fire for the Lord, and I think that starts with prayer. You and I need to pray. The prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Pray that America, here's how you can pray. Pray that our country will turn to God and stay tuned to God. Pray that American leaders would wait upon the Lord and then follow the Lord's plans. Pray that God would bring to an end all the unrest that we see all around us. And I tell you what, if you're going to pray, you got to believe that he can do that which we prayed for. Believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And he tells us the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so trust him, for it is the Lord who has allowed these things to happen to capture our attention. And we need to trust him. We need to ask God for healing, and we need to ask God for forgiveness. What if we really trust the Lord? Tonight, I'm going to ask Mike to come and lead us in song, and we're going to take the Lord's Supper. You know, you hear these messages, they all sound alike after a while, and sometimes we just come and go, but listen to the song as it prepares your heart. And as soon as that is over, there are four of the men who are going to assist tonight in giving the Lord's Supper. And as we observe the Lord's Supper, pray that the Lord will start with us to make a difference in our community right here in Saraland. And if Saraland, if we would get on fire and people saw a difference in our life, it'd make a difference in our county. And then it goes from there. Brother Mike, sing the song from your heart. I know you always do. And may it help prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper.
Before I sing, I normally never, hardly ever talk before I sing. And preacher, I hope I'm not raining on anything that you're about to say. But communion time is a very special time in my life. My oldest son got saved during communion one day. Jared is his name. And he was sitting by us. And when you're in a Center Rescue family and it's time to eat and drink, everybody eats and drinks. But we had to stop Jared several times. And it would upset him so bad. And he'd say, why can't I? And it'd be a conversation right there in the pew. He said, why can't we? I said, you're not saved, son. That would just break my heart. You're not saved, son. Then we get in the car, and on the way home from church, we'd explain, you know, that you need to be saved. You need to have Jesus in your heart. Well, later on, when I was older, and I was a preacher's son, so there's a lot of privileges to being a preacher's son. You get all the leftover communion juice. We didn't ever like the bread. Mom always made the bread, and it was awful because it was unleavened. But Dad stopped it one day. He said, I want you boys to quit drinking the juice because it's a representation. And he set us down. And when I got older, I thought, I'm not worthy. And I didn't take communion one time, and my mom was within earshot or eyeshot of me. And she's got me after church. And I'm old now. I have a baby or two. So why didn't you take communion tonight? I said, Mom, I wasn't worthy. She said, what do you mean? I said, I wasn't worthy. She said, are you saved? This thing's really ringing, Darren. I don't know why. New mic? She said, well, you're saved, aren't you? I said, yes, ma'am. She says, well, it's your duty to take the... I said, have you ever read the front of the table? This, do in remembrance of me. She took me to this scripture, 1 Corinthians 11:29, and I'm only saying this because I believe there's a lot of young people that don't understand this sometimes. And if you have a young person in here tonight, I suggest very highly you get them beside you, and you take this so serious, because it was serious, what Jesus did for us. And the song I'm about to sing tells us about, the devil always wants us to feel unworthy. And you know what? We're not worthy to take it tonight. But he says, this do. It's not asking you to. He says, if you're saved, born again, do this in remembrance of me. 1 Corinthians 11:29 says, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And I was so sensitive, even as a young adult, I didn't want to do nothing unworthily to God. But just being ignorant of the word and growing up in a preacher's home. So if you're here tonight and you're saved, please take it and listen to the words of this song.
To
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate that. If the deacons want to come and stand here, you can. I'd like to share something. I think there needs to be an exchange. An exchange. Say, what do you mean by that? I think what he just said, you know, he took our sin upon himself and he bore our sin. He was our sin bearer. You or I don't pay for the penalty of sin. It's been taken care of. As he mentioned in the song, or as he talked about earlier, you have doubts, you have worries, you have fears. Sometimes when we have the Lord's Supper, we think, okay, I got to evaluate. Am I reading my Bible enough? And so conviction comes, and we say, Lord, I pray that you help me as I examine myself. I recognize that I am not committed to your word. I'm not hiding it in my heart. So that's a conviction point. So you begin to say, well, I'm going to inventory that. That's a sin of omission to do something that is right. Or sometimes it's a sin of commission. And we then look at our life. We say, well, every once in a while, I fly off the handle. And I have a temper problem. And as I evaluate myself as the men, as Greg is here and Bill on the other end and in between Jack and Brother Jim, as they come by and they hand you the element, the first one representing the body of Christ, the bread, and someone's going to pray over it, and we give thanks for it. We say, take, eat, this is my body, this do remembrance of me, this do, yeah. So we want to do these exchanges. It might be our temper, it might be this, it might be that. It might be that, you know, we harbor a bitterness, and we begin to think of all those things. But I'd like for you to think about an exchange in maybe a little different fashion. We'll go back to Mike referenced 1 Corinthians 11. We'll look at that. But before we do, let me share something with you. God doesn't want us to have doubt. That's what I sort of got. That's how I got blessed by that song. He doesn't want us to have doubt. And I think we want to do the sins of omission, sins of a commission, but we don't really look at the fact that we just don't think he can. He can't really change us. He can't really do anything about our church. He can't do anything about our family. He can't do anything about our country. It's just the way we're going to have to endure. Well, if we can understand we are bought by the blood of Jesus Christ and his purchased property, he wants us to behave in such a way that the whole world knows he's going to come alongside, and just like he told Moses to tell the people, tell them to fear not, just as he said to Elisha, tell the people to fear not, just as Jesus said they will despitefully use you. He said, blessed are you, and men shall revile you and persecute you for all manner of evil for my name's sake, for great is your reward in heaven. But sometimes we get a little weary. It says in Hebrews 12, and then we'll look to our passage and pass the bread and the grape juice that sometimes we can drink too much of. It says this in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. I know it's right in the middle of a thought, but let me start there. It says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh. I think we need to exchange some things tonight. I think one of them is our doubt or our fear or our worry. But he says, you have forgotten what you've been exhorted, which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. At the church at Corinth, and speaking of being unworthy, yes, that does talk about taking unworthily, but we are commanded to take it. And even though they had some issues and God was dealing with them in a corrective letter, in 1 Corinthians, I want you to know, he says, to the saints that are at Corinth, we're his children. And we don't need to forget the exhortation which says that. He says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, not faint when thou art rebuked of him. And tonight, some of us, as we get ready to take the Lord's Supper, the Lord might do some rebuking. He may get a hold of your heart. And you may never lift your hand to that. You may never testify to that. You may not come down at the altar. But right where you are, God can give you an exchange. He can take away the doubt, the worry, the fear, the sins of omission, the sins of a commission. And he can do a work in your life. But if we don't allow him to do that, here's what happens. You resist. And then there's a chastening process. I remember being spanked by my dad a few times. It didn't take me many to know I didn't really like it the first, second, or third. And why have the fourth, fifth, and sixth? But Dad really loved Ronnie. Because he spanked him a lot harder than he spanked me. I told Mom one day, we lived on Jamaica Road, I says, Mom, Dad's going to kill Ronnie. I really did, Ron. You may not remember that, but I think he was with Paul Snowden or one of the Middleton boys or something like that, and you weren't making Dad and Mom happy. And Dad says, we're going to have a council meeting. And they met down in the basement, and I ran to Mom. I'm a senior in high school, I think. I said, he's going to kill my brother. But he loved Ronnie enough to take time to say enough is enough. And God loves us. For whom the Lord loveth, it says in verse 6, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what sons is he whom the Father chasteneth? But without chastisement, whereof are all partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. So we are his children. And all I want you to know is this. Don't forget the exhortation. And if you don't allow this to work in your life, the evaluation of the Lord's Supper, see if our walks match our talk. Well, I think what happens is when you go through a process, he'll scourge you, he'll scorn you, he'll chasten you. And then Mike said over here in 1 Corinthians 11, I think you said verse 29, I think it was, 11:29 says, For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And then verse 30, it says this, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Catch that phrase. For this cause, this is what's taking place. If we take the Lord's Supper and we evaluate and we say, Lord, I hear you. I'm doubting you. It's impossible to please you without faith. I'm not pleasing you because I just don't think you can. Oh, he can do anything. He can do everything. Anything but fail. He cannot lie, and he loves us. And all I want you to know now, as the men will take the cover off, Greg, if you and Bill will take that cover off, I guess that's the two designated on the end, and then they're going to get ready. I'm going to ask Brother Jim Williams, if he will, ask the Lord to bless the bread that's about to be given. And when we return, Brother Jack Foster, would you be so kind, a very precious thing. I'm going to ask if you'd ask the Lord's blessing on the grape juice. And you all know, this is not the actual body. It's for believers, as was said a moment ago. You shouldn't take this unless you have experienced the first ordinance. There are two ordinances in the church. This is not a sacrament. This is not transubstantiation. This is not the body of Christ, but it's a picture of who Jesus is. And wow, what a wonderful picture it is. Brother Jim, ask God to bless this bread, please.
Time to come together for your Lord's Supper, dear God. We just pray, dear God, that everyone will examine their hearts and their souls, dear God, and will partake of this bread, dear God, as a rebel of Jesus Christ who died on the cross and gave his body
Amen.
For our sins. We just pray for that, dear God, and we just pray that we just are saved and we. If we are saved, like Mike said, we deserve this, and we love you, and God bless us, and bless you.
Amen. Amen, if you would, take time to distribute that. as you take this that's been passed before you, if you have taken it and chosen to do so, been saved and baptized, and you want to observe another ordinance, the other ordinance of the local New Testament church. It's a piece of unleavened bread. You know, Jesus said a little leaven spoileth the whole lump. Whatever it is, just say, Lord, I want that exchange. I want to walk out of here with the cleanness. I want to give all of those things that have come between me and you. I ask you to forgive me. At this point in time, if you would just bow your heads and give God thanks for his only, just as Brother Jack did, but if you would give him thanks, I know that that's what he wants us to do. Would, in remembrance of him, till he comes again. He's coming again. What a joyful thing. But till he comes, take, eat. Brother Jack, would you ask the Lord's blessing on the
Heavenly
juice?
Father, as we come to you tonight, we do thank you for this time together, for the ordinance that you have given, that whereby we can be sure of our cleansed hearts. Help us to grasp the idea that when we ask you to forgive us, you do.
Mm-hmm.
And we come tonight to give thanks for that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for forgiving us of our sins. Thank you for the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That we can do this. We can enter into your throne room with these prayers and petitions and thanksgivings tonight and praises to you. Ask now that you would bless this time, bless the wine as we partake of it and what it represents, the blood that has taken away our sins. And for this, we receive forgiveness. In Jesus' name, we thank you and praise you now. Amen.
Amen. As you're about to take this cup, or as perhaps you've already received the cup and the juice, if you think about his shed blood, think about this. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. At that point in time, we weren't in this world. None of our sins had we committed. But we're born into this world naturally, and we're in a lost state. But he died for our sins, future. He died for our past, our present, and future sins. It's all covered by the blood. Think about that as you hold that juice. And flow, all washed away. What a mighty God we serve. He sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, to do what no one else could do. Only the blood of Christ. And because of that, we have forgiveness of sins. Till he comes, in remembrance of him, take, drink ye all of it. Amen. Mike reflected on his youth when he was younger, and the meaning even his son came to a saving knowledge of the Lord's Supper. I reflected tonight on my brother's chastening in his life. Ron and I both got spankings. But I pray that tonight, that as the Lord loves us, we listen to the tug. We're not under condemnation, but he brings Holy Spirit conviction in our life. Listen as he convicts us. What are we going to sing, Mike, as we want to close? Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Would you all stand, please? We'll sing "Thank You, Lord, for Saving My Soul," and then we'll be dismissed as we sing. Song. Happy Thanksgiving. We don't meet Wednesday. We meet Tuesday evening, and there is no, we always meet in here together. Brother Terry asked a great question, part of one of his ministries. He helps out and on Wednesday nights, and so the teens, the little kids, and everybody come here as family. Tuesday evening at 7 will be our time, and we that way it accommodates those who want to travel. I need some help in setting up this week. For next Sunday, we're going to have dinner afterwards. We'll figure, I don't know how many will want to participate with chili and hot dogs when you're used to those roasts. But, you know, on the heels of turkey, you'll probably be ready for a hot dog and chili. We're going to have a chili cook-off. Get your recipes out. We hope and pray that you will participate. The last time, I know Jim Moore and let me think who all helped. I had certain judges. We had a form. We're going to do that again, and I am looking for 3 judges. Anybody here like to judge a chili cook-off? James Brady said he would. Okay, James. He's just thinking, I like James. You know, he accused me this morning of stealing my wife's notes. She taught a Sunday school class this morning to the juniors. He said, "Preacher, do you know you use the very same notes that you had the same message your wife did?" And I had no idea what Edie, I knew she was teaching on the Kings and what was happening there in the Old Testament. But James, thank you for your willingness to help. We'll use you. Brother Jimmy Skelton would help judge. Is there a couple other guys to help judge? Ladies, Janae, how about you? Would you think about it? Well, you did that for your son. she has judged the chili cook-off that Jimmy has on a Saturday once a year. And I know that we all have a good time. I'm teasing you. Hope you don't mind me putting pressure on you. Lord, get a hold of your heart later, and you can come to me and tell me you'll do it. But if you'd like to help, if you don't call us, we'll just call on the deacons. That's part of their assisting the preacher. So, but listen, if you would help, we ask that you will help us next Sunday. It's a good time to bring some people in and get them to stay afterwards. It's not all about food because it's a menial part. It's a minor part of it, but it's about getting people here. Have any of you noticed the crowds have gotten a little better lately? The good crowd today, good crowd last week. Have you noticed we've had a lot of families visiting? Tons of families, and they're coming back. Today we had 5 families that have been here like 3 or more times. And so I'm thankful for those 5 families. We have some other families have come and not come back. We had some people have been saved and haven't gotten them in yet, but we hope and pray that we'll see some of that happen. And just be faithful in your witness. As you evaluate tonight, you can't help but let Jesus shine in your heart. Let him shine till he comes. We dismiss you in his name, and thank you for being with us tonight.